Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Tuesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of pre-owned inventory if that's where the budget says you need to go. An excellent sales staff that whether you're looking to buy a brand new car or a pre-owned vehicle, they're there for you, not just there for the sale, to make sure you get the car that's right for you and also at the right price. And then you have a service department that's there for your current vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, with the routine maintenance, with the oil changes, all that kind of good stuff. They are there for you to take care of it and not have you worry. All part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Jerry Dulac today back with us from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Steelers Radio Network at 4:35 today. Very curious what he'll have to say about the changes with the Steelers, as it's now Acrisure Stadium, now not Heinz Field. And I know there was a lot of talk on social media yesterday seeing the ketchup bottles being removed from Heinz Field, which used to be the Heinz Red Zone. I think someone tweeted yesterday a caption in the arms of the angels, that animal rescue commercial. Yeah, so it was a tough day in Pittsburgh yesterday, and I can agree. I can attest to that. As I thought that was fun, but I don't get this new stadium name either. But Money Talks, it is what it is at this point, so we'll recap that with Jerry. Plus, the Open and the latest with Liv and all that fun stuff. Cam Smith rumored to maybe be heading there next after winning the Open the way he did over the weekend. So we'll get into that and more with Jerry coming up at 4:35 today. But normally Steve allows me to have some beefs at this point when he first joins the show. I do have two beefs today. Once again, you all know that I can't ignore stupid. And there's just two stupid things that came up in the sports world at the end of the day yesterday that we just have to address. First of all, on a somewhat of a more serious note, is the Deshaun Watson situation and the latest there. There's a lot of back and forth of what exactly it's going to be. Someone who you talk to has sources tell them there's something different. Apparently it could be a 2-8 game suspension for Deshaun Watson, according to Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. You look at what Charles Robinson said yesterday, and this is kind of the big bombshell, is if this NFL suspension is a year or more, then Deshaun Watson's camp and the NFLPA is ready to sue the league for that. There's still rumors there that it could be a year or more, but there are some out reports saying it could be lower than that, so we'll just have to see. And that it could come down, it probably won't come down until the Browns start training camp, which I believe is sometime next week. There's some teams today that have rookies reporting, including the New York Football Giants today, Steve's Giants. But in terms of the NFLPA and Deshaun Watson's camp, especially the NFLPA, you know how serious these allegations are. There's been more that's come out in the last couple of weeks, mind you. Sure, most of them have been settled at this point. But if you're Deshaun Watson, knowing everything that's happened, knowing the kind of contract you have, you got some goons to go ahead and sue the league because you don't like the suspension you're getting. I just have a major, major issue with that. I mean, he should be happy that it might even be 2-8 games. Let it alone, it gets to a year. I mean, there's no offense for Deshaun Watson, but there's a lot. And you can argue, you know, who's right or wrong here, who may be truthful, who may not be, in terms of the women that have come out against him with these allegations. But, you know, it's more like the shame, if you fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, and, you know, you kind of go from there. That's kind of how I view this, when you have this many allegations against you. I just think if you're Deshaun Watson, you need to just remain quiet and take what you get and move on. Because clearly, all the money that's been thrown at him with the Browns, he's not going anywhere as far as we know. And the fact that they traded Baker Mayfield away solidified that. So, I just think he's got major goulions for suing the NFL if he gets a year suspension or more. And then the biggest gripe comes from the Home Run Derby last night. Now, I know Steve will probably just brush it off because he's not a Home Run Derby fan. Because he's not fun. But ESPN has just taken so many hits about their credibility over the last couple of years. And it just took another hit last night. It was the worst crapshoot of a performance of ESPN's part, of a production standpoint, of that Home Run Derby last night. Miscounting not one but two sets of home runs in two different rounds. Albeit, and all culminating with the final round when Juan Soto won. And we'll play that a little bit later on. When Juan Soto won in the final, he already had beaten his counterpart. And ESPN nearly miscounted that. He had them counted it at 19. He needed 18 to beat the tie, but he really had 20, so that was one miscount. And then the second, which has gotten more attention here locally, is Kyle Schwarber being robbed of 20 home runs that would have sent him to the semifinals instead of Albert Pujols, who, of course, as well-deserved, got a lot of attention last night because it's his last one. He got the nice little send-off from the players after he was done in the Derby. That was cool to see. That was kind of the highlight of the night. I mean, but if you're ESPN, it's one thing to mess that up in the early round like you did with Kyle Schwarber. But when you're facing a guy like Albert Pujols there, you got to make sure that's right. And then to mess it up in the final, when it's coming down to the final seconds, I mean, when it comes to ESPN, it's just like watching somebody fall down the stairs constantly over and over. That is an embarrassing crapshoot of a production. To mess that up, not once, but twice, for that Home Run Derby. When you know you've got the national spotlight on you, that's the only thing in the sports world that is prime time. And yet they can't even get a Home Run Derby right, let alone the many other things that we've talked about.
All right, so, sorry about that. Road construction.
I see.
Unexpected road construction.
That's just as bad as ESPN's production was last night of the Home Run Derby.
No, didn't watch. All right, so,
I mean, seriously, that was embarrassing. Then okay. Miscounting not one but two different rounds, including the final round.
Okay, it's the Home Run Derby.
It doesn't matter. You're ESPN. Okay. You can't mess this up. You've been broadcasting this for how long, and you can't count home runs?
But you have to remember that. How many times have I told you this? Okay, over and over and over again. ESPN is really good at certain things, and they're not good at others. Right? They are the most baffling sports operation I've ever could possibly conceive of.
Absolutely.
You put them in an NBA Finals, because it's ABC, ESPN, right? They're great. They're great. Major League Baseball? Not good. NFL? Not good. Now we'll see what happens with Buck and Aikman, but not good. Right? College football? Great. College basketball? Great. NHL? Okay. TNT, I think, is better in terms of the production.
Also agree.
Golf? Not good. I mean, they are baffling. That's just me. They're a tennis, great. Golf, no. I mean, how could you be, as a sports network, be so inconsistent on what you do? But that is who they are. It is who they are. Did you watch? I thought you'd be watching the Jeter documentary last night.
I did not get a chance to watch that last night. I actually didn't get to watch as much of the Derby as I would have liked to last night. I'm having work done at my house, so I've been tied up with that a little bit. But I will go back and watch that at some point.
You know, it discusses, you know, his mediocrity as a shortstop. I mean, it's like...
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
And there's a man that knows that for sure.
Okay. By the way, how many errors did he have in rookie league? 56. All right. Next. Not good. Jeter had to work hard to become a good major league shortstop. He's not a great major league shortstop. I know. I feel like, you know, it's like it's sacrilege, you'd say. But look, but I give you honest evaluations. Hey? Terrific clutch hitter. Great player. Can make the big plays, the whole thing. As a fielder, he was good, not great. You hate that, but that's the way it is. Yeah, I don't sit there and I don't look at it through the fanboy lens. You hate that evaluation. He was a good major league shortstop, not great. Like Ozzie Smith was a great shortstop. Omar Vizquel, great shortstop. Right? Derek Jeter, good. You know, passable, good. You have no reaction because right now you're mad. He's the best ever. Nobody could feel like Derek Jeter. Nobody.
I'll admit defense was his Achilles heel, but...
No. I said he was good, not great. Did I say fair? Did I say mediocre?
No.
Did I say bad? No, I said good. I didn't say he was great. Okay? Great is reserved for great. He wasn't a great shortstop, but he was a good shortstop. Good. And the better the first baseman, the better shortstop he became. Okay? Simple as that. And, you know, one of the great players. I mean, you're mad one guy didn't vote for him.
Yeah, because...
there's a long list of history. Just guess what? One guy's been unanimous. One.
Exactly, and that's wrong.
Why? People aren't entitled to have an opinion?
They're entitled to have their opinion.
So, in other words, if the opinion doesn't match your opinion, they're a dope.
It should be common. There's thinking, there's having my own opinion and your own opinion, and then there's just being dumb and you not knowing the game. If you're a voter, that one voter, and you look at Derek Jeter and you don't think he is a first ballot Hall of Famer, I don't know what you're watching. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. If you did not vote for Derek Jeter for the Hall of Fame, especially on the first ballot, I don't know what you're watching. You do not know the game of baseball. I'm sorry.
Okay, who else falls into that category?
Well, Mo should have gone in that. I think Trevor Hoffman... I think he was close, wasn't he?
No.
Okay. Well, I would put him in there, in that category. David Ortiz is another one. Yes. I put a Red Sox in there. I would definitely have put him in on there on that list.
I mean, you can go through the history of the whole thing. Babe Ruth should have been unanimous.
Yeah, if we're going to go that far.
Ted Williams should have been unanimous.
Yeah,
Hank Aaron should have been unanimous. Willie Mays should have been. I mean, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays are better players than Derek Jeter. They should have been unanimous.
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah. Pete Rose? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well,
get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Did I miss on that one?
We'll just let that one slide.
What? Come on. This is your guy. This is your guy. Pete Rose.
Oh, yeah.
See, I knew I could finally get you to admit it. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Dick and Milton is on the line. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. I just real quickly, I don't know. You might have talked about the PIAA with their allowing the high school athletes to use their name, image, and likeness to raise some money. But the one that really got me today, Texas Tech is going to allow 85 scholarship and 15 walk-ons. They're going to pay them $25,000 a year. One of the alumni has a lot of money. He's an oil guy, and they're going to have to do some community service for it.
Not unprecedented.
I'm not sure where it's going to end.
Yeah, not unprecedented because BYU already has that arrangement.
Really?
BYU has an arrangement for all 85 plus any walk-on at BYU. So what Texas Tech is doing is they're following actually BYU's lead.
I just heard this one today. I just can't. I mean, I guess the other thing I really think about, there's Division II and Division III assistant coaches would be happy to make that kind of money some days, I think.
So, yeah, you got that right. Absolutely.
I mean, they can't be making big money at some of these Division I and or three and two and three schools as assistants.
No, you're absolutely right, Dick, and that's what you're going to find here. That's you're spot on.
Well, anyhow, I don't know where. Maybe there is no end to it.
I think at some point there will be an end at some point where they'll put some parameters on it. But when that happens, I don't know.
Well, when it sunk down to the high school level, now I'm starting to really get concerned.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Every state has their own laws, and that's why I discussed it with Bob Lombardi yesterday. They're trying to stay ahead of the game, even though Pennsylvania right now doesn't have legislation that allows high schoolers to get it.
Well, the PIAA voted already once. They have to vote two more times. They're worried kids will go to other states. Let them go.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dick. Okay, just so everybody knows, Matt's mad.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a service department that takes care of it all. Routine, oil changes, inspections, diagnostics. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. We're going to get to Governor Gavin Newsom in a moment. No, he's not a guest on the show. No, we've got to go into different topics because Matt's so mad right now. He's, it's sacrilege if you actually are realistic about people. The MLB draft, we mentioned Matt Wood picked in the fourth round by the Brewers yesterday. Highest position player ever drafted out of Penn State. Now, Nate Bump, as a pitcher, was drafted by the Giants in the first round. Nathan Church, who played for the Spikes last summer, was an 11th round pick of the St. Louis Cardinals. Mark Adamiak, who's pitching for the Spikes this summer, is a 15th round pick of the Oakland A's. Taden Hall of the Crosscutters, whose dad Toby was a catcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, he was taken yesterday in the 9th round. And then there's Troy Taylor. Troy Taylor pitched last year for Williamsport and was a heck. I thought he was the best starting pitcher in the MLB draft league last year. Outstanding. He has a very close relationship with Jim Gott. Troy was the 20th round pick of the Mariners last year. And he decided, no, I can do better than this. So he kept pitching last year for Williamsport right to the end and went back to Cal Irvine. And he was on the preliminary roster for the Spikes. Again, that close relationship with Jim Gott. Well, in the end, he did not come to State College. Well, he was picked today. Now, remember, he's the 20th round pick by the Mariners a year ago. He was picked in the 12th round today. So he bettered his spot by 8 rounds. And he was picked again by the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners really like him. Oh, my goodness. Under the idea of ridiculous, and if I'm hiring somebody that writes this stuff, I fire them. Right? Juan Soto really helped himself and his contract by the home run derby. It's a home run inning contest. Who the heck cares?
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found.
What are we doing here? We're a guy's lobbing the ball in so he can hit home runs. Neato. Unbelievable. You sit there, you're like, you actually wrote this? You actually sat down and wrote this. Yeah, there you go. Unbelievable.
It was probably the guy that voted against Jeter.
Oh. Jeter's not in an exclusive club.
I'm sorry, did I say that?
Look, when Kershaw comes up, could Kershaw be unanimous? Could be. Might not be. Mike Trout, could be. Might not be. Doesn't matter. All you got to do is get to 75%. After that, who cares? Just get to 75%. Hey, you want a long list of really, I think, great players that never got to 75%? Those are the guys I worry about. You worry about a guy not being unanimous. I get concerned for the guys I think are really good and couldn't quite get the last 2 or 3 votes they needed. See, that's me, and you get all bent out of shape because of one of your guys missed by a vote of being unanimous. Okay? I'm the one that sits there, you got 73.4%, and you're like, oh, imagine the agony of that guy. Where he's got to wait another year to see if he can somehow find 16 more votes. Okay? That's who you feel badly for on a relative scale. Not the person that missed by one vote of being unanimous. Whoop-de-doo. Okay, so what? Now you feel bad.
No, I agree with that, too.
No, but that's the bottom line. Who can get to 75? After that, it's all gravy. It's gravy. Does it matter that Tom Seaver got 92% and 8% didn't? It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Did you get the 75%? After that, whatever number you get, it's gravy time. It's the one that gets 68%, the one that gets 72%, gets 74%. That doesn't get there, and then they got to wait a year, and then they're still at 74%. They got to wait another year. It's like, I mean, that's, and then people start debating whether you're, I don't know. It's if let's pick one, Todd Helton. Well, he's really in the Hall of Very Good and the whole thing. You bust your butt for all those years, and your fate is in the hands of others. Okay. And you're all bent out of shape because Derek Jeter missed by a vote of being unanimous. In the end, whoop-de-doo, who cares? Okay, did you end up getting, all right, 75%? That's all that matters. All right. So now, again, you're still angry.
I just can't ignore stupid, that's all.
I look at the long list of guys that I think are really good and worthy of it that aren't there yet. That guy being missing by one and being unanimous, so what? I mean, it really is a so what. Is he in?
Yes, he is in.
Does it matter what the number was? No. All right, so it really doesn't matter. Okay, there's a bottom line. Are you in? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So now let's get to an interesting part. Governor Gavin Newsom. Can we get him on the show? No, I'm just kidding.
I'll submit it to On the Mark.
Huh?
I'll submit it to On the Mark.
No, but this is actually, hear me out on this for a moment, okay? When Penn State went to the Big Ten, of course the governor has to, but the governor has no power over it, okay? Oklahoma goes to the SEC. Oh, the politicians and the Oklahoma, okay. And the governor of Oklahoma has no, and of course they're worried because now Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are going to be broken up, right? Okay, that's the concern. California is a bit different, Matt. USC is a private institution, right? So they can go and do whatever they want. The state of California has no sway over them at all. But the California state system, of which the University of California at Los Angeles is a part of, the governor, like, for example, the governor has a seat on the Board of Trustees of Penn State, but I believe it's Governor Wolf, it's a non-voting, okay, on the board. In California, the governor, in this case Governor Newsom, actually has power over in the California state system. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, it just turns out it's Gavin Newsom right now. So when he says he's upset about this, and of course he didn't know anything about it, and that's something that's remarkable about this. What's really remarkable is about how both USC and UCLA went about this separately in the beginning, and the other side didn't know it, and it never got out to anybody that they were doing this. It didn't get out to anybody until the day it happened. Isn't that remarkable?
For those schools especially.
But anywhere. I mean, it just didn't get out. I mean, Penn State didn't really get out. I mean, I kind of found out 36 hours ahead of time. Right? But the idea was I wasn't going to say anything. And I talked to, you know, in the summertime, I interviewed Jim Tarman, and we went through some stuff. And, you know, I brought up with Jim that summer, the summer of 89, about the possibility of Penn State in conferences. And I was doing it in the context of, like, how much longer was Joe going to be coaching? You know, you start thinking about that stuff. I didn't know at that point Joe was going to continue to coach for more than two decades. All right. So it doesn't get out. So Newsom didn't know about it till John Wilner put it out that day. So Gavin Newsom found out the same time we did. So he's, you know, he's not happy about it. But again, he is not powerless in this, in the California system. Now, in the end, this is going to be the UCLA argument. And it's very simple. We're $102 million in debt in the athletic department, $62 million of which happened during the pandemic. How many sports do you want us to drop? Remember, Stanford, a private school, about a year ago, 15 months ago, let's go further back, maybe 16 months ago, they're going to drop 11 sports. Remember that, Matt?
Yeah.
They dropped 11. Yeah, everybody's like, it was traumatic because one of the sports they're going to drop was wrestling. And Stanford is a university that, last I checked, has about a, I don't know, how many billion-dollar endowment? Yikes. Pretty good.
Yeah. Now, weren't they able to recover some of those sports, though?
No, they got them all back.
Okay.
They all made it back in the end, including wrestling. Remember last year they wrestled it, and they didn't have a logo on the singlet. Remember that?
That's right, yes.
This year the logo's back, because they recommitted to keep the program. Okay. Great. Well, UCLA is in that spot. And Martin Jarman, they look, says the bottom line is this was the way to get themselves out of financial trouble. Okay. It makes total sense to me. And that's the argument you'd have to say. Look, you can do this. You know, you can look at Governor Newsom and say, look, you can do this. But my question is going to be, are you going to be the one that goes to the podium and announces which sports we have to drop to stay in the Pac-12? Right? And that's not playing hardball in the least with the governor. Oh, good. Josh Bortka. Spike a pick by the Phillies. You'll like him. Bortka's got a good fastball. So, Phillies fans, Josh Bortka, another spike picked. That's what it comes down to, the finances of this. And we talk about money all the time, and it always used to drive the suit nuts. So let's give you some basic numbers here. Major League Baseball just negotiated a new contract, right? How much of an increase did they get? 19%. Okay. The NFL, a year ago, negotiated and completed its new TV contract that'll cover 10 years. What did the NFL get? An increase of 63%. That is really impressive, right? The Big Ten is projected, and it's only a projection, to get $1.2 billion a year. That's the projection. It might be whatever. We'll just use the projection. Under that projection, do you know how much the Pac-12 TV contract would have to increase to get to half of that? Now remember, baseball went up by 19%. The NFL went up by 63%. The Pac-12 would have to get an increase of 240% to get to half of the Big Ten number.
And, oh, by the way, they're not getting any help from the Big 12.
No, they're not. No, but I'm saying, though, if the Pac-12 stayed, if UCLA and USC stayed together, they would have to get a 240% media rights increase to get to half of the Big Ten number.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
That's to get to half. That's what this is about. So, yes, I can understand exactly what the governor is saying because he's concerned about Cal Berkeley, all right? And that's part of his job. So you see, I'm being very apolitical about this. Very apolitical. It has nothing to do with, I'm telling you what the power of the governor of California is. Should he be concerned? Yes. Should he be concerned about where Cal Berkeley's going? Yes. But in the end, he's going to have to look at UCLA and say, you know what, I get what you're doing. Because you can't be dropping sports. You can't be dropping opportunities. That's what this is all about. Well, you're going to have to stay here, but we're going to have to drop these sports to do it. Do you want to go in and, you know, personally address the student athletes of the sports that we're dropping? Of course he doesn't. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody. And that's in the end what they're going to do. Because look, one of the great mistakes, and it may not have made a difference in the end. It may not have. But I've talked about Mark Emmert talking about the value of college, going pro in other things besides sports and the degree and everything like that. I've always referred to it as the, quote, ivory tower speech, right, which he gave on the witness stand. And you're like, and I'm sitting there as he's doing it, I'm saying to myself, what are you doing? People are like just like putting their right hand against the side of their face and they're leaning, listening to him do this. When the bottom line is, tell them where the money goes. Right? These sports can't sustain themselves. I want to get more into that in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I go to left field. Yep, another one. Nope, a pop-up. Ball rising on him. He's got 15, needs 20. This will be close down the line. Albert Pujols is watching intently. So are his fans. Schwarber 17. Schwarber 18. Nope. Yes.
Oh, my.
Albert Pujols is going to stay alive.
Is he? Yes.
How dramatic. All right.
Because even Eduardo Perez knew they messed that up.
It's a home run derby. It's like watching mini golf. All right. So... Yeah.
Absolute disaster.
Really? It's a home run derby. I'm just saying, there's certain things they're not good at. They're not good at it. Okay? And that's not good when you're the worldwide leader in sports and you aren't good at certain sports.